God shines in us too. Each year the church celebrates Transfiguration Sunday on the Sunday before Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. Today we will listen to Luke. Next year it'll be Matthew. The year after that, Mark. All three of them talk about the Transfiguration. But what about Luke? What is his emphasis? Prayer. Jesus prioritized prayer. Before every important event in the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus in prayer. And likewise with us. If we want our hearts to open up to God, we pray. So let's pray for the Spirit to open our hearts to hear God's word. Come, Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see your word. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to receive Jesus Christ. And open our lives to serve others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all together say, Amen. Amen.
Our scripture today is Luke 9. Verses 28 through 35, it can be found in your pew Bible on page 1477. The Transfiguration. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen, listen to him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
One day, Jesus went on a mountain to pray. Some say the place was Mount Tabor, a large hill pictured there in northern Israel, which is about 10 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. But the Bible does not really pinpoint the location. What does the Bible tell us? Well, Jesus went to a mountain and brought his inner circle, three former fishermen by the name of Peter and John and John's brother James. He took them up on a mountain to pray. Of course, Jesus was intentional. He did everything with a purpose. And on this day, his purpose was prayer. He went up on the mountain to experience close communion with his heavenly Father. The mountain was a place where you could encounter God. It was the same for Moses and Elijah. Back in the day, Moses had encountered God on Mount Sinai. And later, Elijah had also encountered God on the mountaintop, where God spoke to him in a gentle whisper. So also with Jesus. While Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face was transformed and his clothes became a dazzling white, whiter than the garments here in front of the church. What a sight that must have been to see. The NIV describes it this way: Jesus' garments were bright as a flash of lightning. Amazing. It brings to mind a song. Have you ever heard of the song, "Shine, Jesus, Shine"? Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. set us free by the truth you now bring us. Remember this song? There's some clapping involved. It says, shine on me. You try it. Shine on me. Good job. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. There was a blinding light that dazzled the eye, but the three disciples didn't see it. They were sleeping, exhausted from the climb up the mountain at the early hour. Nevertheless, while they slept, two heroes of the Old Testament appeared. You've probably heard of Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet. And when they appeared, it was as if the gospel writers were saying, putting a spotlight on the situation, making it clear as day that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law, symbolized by Moses, and the fulfillment of the prophets, symbolized by Elijah. All their hopes and dreams had come true in Jesus. The Messiah had appeared. Together, Jesus spoke with them about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. The holy city of Jerusalem was the destination of Jesus' journey. It was there that he would be crucified on the cross. It was there that he would rise from the dead victorious on Sunday morning. And it was there that after a number of days, he would ascend to be with the Father in heaven. After their mountaintop moment, the three disciples woke up from their slumber. When they rubbed their weary eyes, they couldn't believe what they were seeing because they saw Jesus glowing like a spotlight, and they saw around him Moses and Elijah. And John and James really didn't have words to put on the moment. They were dumbstruck. They didn't have anything to say. But Peter had plenty to say. He often had something to say, and he usually put his foot in his mouth. Have you ever been there? Seeing Jesus' glory and recognizing the two famous men beside him, Peter blurted out, "Master, it's so good for us to be here. Let's construct three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and let's just dwell on this mountaintop," because Peter wanted to preserve that moment and keep them there on a permanent basis. The NIV helpfully contains the following parenthetical note. He didn't know what he was saying. While Peter kept on talking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And you can imagine they're on the mountaintop, so the cloud was below them. The cloud was above them. The cloud was on the right and the left. It was in front and in back. The cloud surrounded them. And then there was this voice from the cloud, the booming, majestic voice of God the Father saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Now, listening is difficult for us, isn't it? Listening is very hard to do when there's so much noise rattling around in our ears. Listening can be extremely challenging for us when there's so much clamoring chaos competing for our attention. That's why we need to pray. And as you can see Rose's coffee mug right there, there's a reminder to pray, pray, pray. Pray in the morning, pray at lunchtime, and pray at night. Pray, pray, pray. The Bible says to pray always. And do so intentionally. Find a good time, find a good place where you're not interrupted, where you can have some quiet and avoid distractions. Turn off your TV, silence your cell phone, and pray. Here in this passage, Jesus teaches us to pray. He ascends a mountaintop in order to pray. And while he was praying, Jesus was transformed. Likewise with us. While we are praying, our very hearts are transformed and take on the shape of Christ. Prayer changes our inner disposition. It aligns our perspectives with God's perspectives. In studying for this sermon, I asked myself, as I sometimes do, what is prayer? One author described prayer as an exchange. In prayer, we make an exchange. We interact with the Lord by switching human wishes for his wishes as he imparts faith. In other words, we exchange my will be done with thy will be done. Picture the exchange with praying hands. And often when we think of praying hands, we think of this or this. But I want to challenge you to think of the hands praying in a different way. Think of them hands down to release whatever is burdening you, and hands up to receive the good things that God has given you. Let me give you just three examples. Hands down to release my hurt. Hands up to receive his healing. Hands down to release my despair. Hands up to receive God's hope. Hands down to release my worry. Hands up to receive God's peace. One thing that interrupts our peace is the nightly news. It could be the local news from Rochester telling us about a carjacking or another house fire. Or it could be the national news from D.C. reporting an executive order or an argumentative meeting in the Oval Office. How do we deal with it? A trusted friend recently sent me prayers to pray before you turn on the news and also after you turn it off. And yes, I give you permission to turn it off. Before you turn on the news, pray. My God, the soul you have placed in me is pure and vulnerable. I'm afraid that looking at today's news will be painful. Encircle me in a robe of light so that I can witness the wounds of the world without being wounded myself. Let me learn what I need to know in order to be of my greatest use without being overwhelmed by despair. I feel your protective light right now as I open myself to the world's suffering and the world's joy. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? I sent that to you on email if you want to see it. I can print it for you for those who want it. After you turn off the news, pray again. Master of the universe, I am yours, and all that is in this world is yours. Today I have read stories and seen images, but my knowledge is incomplete. I don't know how it all connects, but I do know that I am connected to everybody. I take joy in their joy, and I suffer when they suffer. If there is no role for me to play today, then let my learning leave me wiser and better prepared. If there is a role for me to play, let clarity rise up within me to see it, even if that role is only a humble one. Lift up the work of my hands in anything that I might do for peace, for justice, for the wholeness of the planet, or for the betterment of my community. Just as you turn the curse of Balaam into a blessing, so may all my actions accrue to the good. Amen. Finally, honor the God of glory. As he said of himself, I am the light of the world. Pay him your respects to worship, for he is worthy. And say, blessed are you, O Lord. Blessed be the one who hears my prayer. God is the God who hears us. Amen? Amen. As you turn off your TV, as you shut off your laptop, as you silence your cell phone, discover a place of silence. In the silence, you can listen to God. You're able to eliminate the noise in order to listen for his voice. And he's telling you to exit anxiety and enter his perfect peace. He offers you this invitation. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Discover in Jesus rest for your soul. Find in him peace for your troubled heart. Doesn't that all sound very refreshing? At times, we will receive a little foretaste of the refreshment. But for now, we'll need to wait for the day when our thirst for peace will be fully quenched. In our Bible passage today, Jesus and Peter, John and James eventually had to come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Coming down, they were forced to re-engage with the chaotic crowds. Coming down, Jesus had to go to Jerusalem. It was his destiny where he would face the passion of Good Friday, the crucifixion of Good Friday. We too must come down from our mountaintops of prayer where we experience the peace of God's presence. But when we do, recall Jesus' reassuring words. He spoke to the disciples back then, and he still speaks to us today. He said, "I've told you many things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." His overcoming is hinted in the story of the Transfiguration. I want to draw your attention to the presence of Moses and Elijah, who met Jesus on the mountaintop. Moses and Elijah received eternal life not by their accomplishments or by their righteous actions. No, they were saved because they looked forward to the coming of Christ with hope. Likewise, we don't receive eternal life by our achievements or good works. No, we are saved by faith in Jesus, who has come and will come again. There will be a day when Christ returns. On the mountain of Transfiguration, Jesus' face was shining like the sun, and his clothes were this dazzling white. This is a foreshadowing of his glorious return. In his second coming, he will appear in the clouds, and he will be shining brightly, revealing the very glory of God, for he truly is the Son of God. And don't forget the two men there, these Hall of Fame of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glorious splendor. Did you read that? They were in glorious splendor. Why do you think that was? Because they had just come from the presence of God, and they were still glowing. Just as the moon reflects the sunlight, so these men were reflecting the glory of God. That's one way to think about heaven and hell. Hell is the absence of God, but heaven is the presence of God. Hell is the darkness of demons, but heaven is the light of God's spectacular glory. When Christ returns in glory, we'll all be transformed. Our earthly bodies, which are subject to death, decay, and disease, will be transformed into glorious spiritual bodies. Glorious spiritual bodies that will live forever with God. Brothers and sisters, do you believe? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe that one day he will transform this world of pain into a world of joy. Believe there will be a day when Christ will return. And what a day of glorious transformation that will be. Christ will restore the very creation to its former glory before sin and suffering invaded the planet. Christ will transform everything so that it becomes a new heaven and a new earth. He will accomplish a new creation where peace and justice will reign. Thanks be to Christ Jesus, for the future is bright for us, God's children. In the meantime, we wait and we pray. Faithfully, we pray for ourselves and for the needs of a broken world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say,